So number 18, part 3, on how to imitate the mystics. This may seem like an odd question, but it really isn't. And that for a variety of reasons. I don't believe that at any time in the Western world there has been more preoccupation with mystics and pseudo-mystics than today. We better know what a mystic is and how we are to imitate genuine mystics. There must be 1,000 definitions of mysticism. This is just one. A mystic is a person whose will is conformed to the will of God and who is gifted with the grace of certain extraordinary phenomena. A mystic is a person whose will is conformed to the will of God and who is gifted with the grace of certain extraordinary phenomena. You notice immediately we distinguish between a mystic's sanctity and a mystic's phenomena. The essence of genuine mysticism is the person's conformity to the will of God. Evidently, the phenomena cannot, as such, be imitated. If they are genuinely mystical, they come as an extraordinary gift from God. The conformity to the will of God, we are supposed to imitate. Now, some cautions. I want to cover three areas of this subject. First, who are the mystics, as we briefly described? Secondly, some cautions. And then, third, the method of imitating mystics. Four cautions. First, not all saintly persons are necessarily mystics. Meaning that a person can be a great saint and show very little, if any, of the phenomena we commonly associate with mysticism. I don't think there is a greater mistake that most beginners and some no longer amateurs in the spiritual life make than this one. They've read lives of women like Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, and they assume that it is their phenomena, their mystical experiences, that if they don't constitute the sanctity, at least are a necessary counterpart of sanctity. That is not the teaching of the Church. In fact, when a person dies with a reputation for sanctity and has had extraordinary phenomena, the Church is more cautious, more careful, takes a longer time to get canonized than one who had lived a very prosaic but holy life. Mother Gabrini, as far as I know, had no mystical experiences. The little flower, though a very saintly person, was not gifted with extraordinary phenomena. Second caution. Not all mystics are necessarily very holy. Now that's harder to see than the first one. In other words, it is possible for God to give extraordinary mystical graces to people who, on their own admission, and if they're not sure, Christ tells them, are quite unholy. I don't mean they're evil living persons. The key to understanding how the mystics are to be imitated is that mystical phenomena are not as such for the person, him or herself. They are meant for others. Mystical phenomena are, in the technical sense, charisms. They are apostolic graces. More than one mystic has admitted that if Christ could have chosen a more unworthy person than themselves, he would have. And that is not a pious exaggeration. In many cases, mystics are good people, but their phenomena, and sometimes extraordinary phenomena, are not as such a sign of extraordinary holiness. This is not easy to not be taken in by, because a person with a levitation, with ecstasy, 3 or 4 hour trances, they must be very holy. And a person who is not quite sure how to spell ecstasy, whether, do you mind if I ask somebody, how do you spell ecstasy?
ecstasy. That's how I would spell it. Right or wrong, that's how I would spell it.
Let's try someone else.
Maybe it has an S T A.
Sister?
ECSTACY. Yeah, that looks good.
We need a dictionary to settle this. I think the spelling is ECSTASY. Look it up right after class. In other words, there is no connection as such between exalted holiness and extraordinary phenomena. Mystics can be quite ordinary people as far as holiness goes. And the reason is because their mystical experience is meant for others. Third caution. Not all apparent mystical phenomena are truly mystical. A book that I'd commend to your reading, if you haven't read it yet, it's not an easy book to read, in the sense that after you've read about 25 pages, you begin to doubt all kinds of things. Herbert Thurston, Physical Phenomena of Mysticism. He analyzes all the mystical phenomena of history. You name it. Ecstasy, levitation, speaking with tongues, healing, you name it. And he proves, at least to his satisfaction, from historical evidence, that each of these phenomena was experienced by some very unholy people. or at least that the mystical phenomena were not necessarily mystical. And fourth, there was a natural human desire to be considered holy, hence the danger of illusion. We are naturally urged or tempted to believe we are holy because, say, the person thinks he or she has certain phenomena. There is danger of illusion. Now the method. I have 6 recommendations. First of all, true mystical graces are experienced only within Christianity. In other words, outside of Christianity, and more specifically, outside of Catholicism, there may be, but not likely, genuine mystical experiences. Secondly, God's intention in conferring mystical graces is to validate the message, to give credence or credibility to what the mystic says or teaches, rather than to confirm or validate the sanctity of the one giving the message, the messenger. Third, for this reason, if you're to imitate the mystics, learn all you can about what the mystics have written. And I would add, make sure that their writings are approved by the church. As you know, we have all kinds of writings of mystics, some of which have not been approved by the church, some have been positively disproved by the church. Take, for example, the number of alleged revelations. I would say all over the world there are outcroppings of apparitions, locutions, revelations of all kinds. In order to benefit from what a genuine mystic has as God's purpose in giving that person that phenomenon, read what they've written. Make sure their writing is approved by the church. You may be surprised that I say this, but I think there is more damage done by reading the writings of alleged mystics than by reading books by heretics. You all heard, I'm sure, about Father Gobi. Our Blessed Mother speaks to her beloved priest, remember? Father Gobi was in Chicago something like a year ago. He asked me to look him up, so I paid him a visit. We talked, and I asked him about his mystical experiences. And the question that I asked him, he told me the Holy Father asked him too. Holy Father was not convinced that his mystical experiences were genuine. In any case, as you know, there are thousands of priests in what is called the Marian movement. I got a letter about 4 or 5 months ago from the apostolic delegate. I'm sure there were many who got the letter, but it was a private letter indicating that in the dioceses of Poland that the writings of Father Gobi were no longer approved for an imprimatur. It doesn't mean that the writings are not authentic, but there are ideas he expresses there that you can't be sure about. He gives you such a fearful picture of the world, of the end of the world, somehow, coming soon, and the dreadful wars and plagues and so on that will befall the world, that the church at least has decided, in one country at least, to withdraw her approval.
Now, I've read some of his things. I have never read anything like that.
You've never read anything of?
I've read some, you know, I've read that book, but I haven't read anything like that. In fact, I thought perhaps you were going to say he gives such a beautiful picture of the world.
Well,
maybe I haven't read everything he has written.
Well, I know he says that because he told me that. Uh-huh. Now, whether it's,
Father, it's just whatever
whether it's in the book that you read.
The opposite was the impression I got.
In other words, well, at least he would not, as in conversation with him, he would not defend his mysticism. But certainly he couldn't have been more outspoken in the dangers and threats to the church. I wouldn't have to read Father Gobi to know that.
There he is.
In any case, so read what the mystics write, but be sure that the writing is approved by the church. Fourth, it is not wrong to desire some of the mystical experiences which certain mystic saints had. The purpose, however, must be in order to better serve God. In other words, the desire for mystical experience is not for my own sake, to get satisfaction or consolation out of whatever the experience is, but rather that because I receive whatever grace is a mystical phenomenon will make me serve God more faithfully. Fifth, the focus should be on imitating the mystics, not so much either in the phenomena of the experienced or even in the practice of the particular virtues which they exercised, but especially to imitate the mystics in their strong desire to win souls. In 35 years as a priest, I've dealt with a lot of people for whom, frankly, mystical experiences are ways in which they will be satisfied or encouraged or inspired. And you might say encouraged to believe that they are close to God. But the real purpose, as I said earlier, for mystical phenomena is not as a reward for holiness. It is rather to win souls for God. In other words, the phenomena are apostolic graces to attract, appeal, and draw people to follow Christ. And sixth, mystical phenomena are a means. They are not an end in themselves. And no matter how extraordinary the phenomena are, a person must continue working on their spiritual life. For example, mystics must cultivate extraordinary humility. And there is nothing more dangerous for a genuine mystic than the temptations to pride. That's what happened at La Salette, the two children. Both went off the deep end, the boy more than the girl. That's why, for example, Fatima. Why? Lucy, who is the one survivor, had to be removed from the convent where she was by order of the Holy See. Now, obviously, Rome couldn't put her in chains. Suppose she had been disobedient and refused to go to another convent. There would be no devotion to Our Lady of Fatima in the world today. It wasn't that she was getting proud, only God knows that, but she was very imprudent. You don't have visits from cardinals and bishops from all over the world. And unless you're either confirmed in grace or already in heavenly glory, it's very hard to maintain humility and prudence. She was telling the bishops what the Lord told her, just say yesterday. Well, the church did not approve Fatima except from May through October of 1917, 1918, 1919, and especially 1925. She was telling everybody who was listening to, willing to listen, what wonderful experiences she had, what Our Lady told her. Maybe Our Lady told her, maybe she didn't. Lucy was not to have said that. So Rome told her superiors to transfer her and to keep her under a lock and key. In other words, the three children of Fatima experienced the extraordinary phenomena they had, not for themselves, but for others. And you can spoil it by, for example, talking too much. And this is why, to imitate the mystics, I recommend certain general principles. First, you are truly safe if the mystic has been canonized by the church. Then you can't go wrong. Secondly, don't just read a life of the mystic written by somebody else, but read what the saintly mystic says about him or herself. And there is enough in the life of most mystics that they tell you not to imitate, because they are dirt humble. If they're not, they're not mystics. And then read their writings. As the proverb has it, open your mouth so I may know who you are. When a person begins to talk, you really get inside the spirit. Until then, you see only the body. Speech is a manifestation of the soul. And consequently, reading what the mystics have written is the surest way of imitating them safely. They provide their own balance and will warn you not to follow or imitate or seek to acquire or experience certain things which, if God sent those experiences to them, it was not to testify to their own holiness. The last thing any person needs is to have God puff up their holiness. We don't need that. If anything, he gave them the experiences to keep them more humble. They were often given missions by Catherine of Siena that were humiliating in the extreme. So to keep them going, so they'd have the courage, say in Catherine of Siena's case, to write to the Pope or talk to the Pope and tell him what he needed to do. God had to come through and gave them such experiences as we call mystical. So much for 18, number 3.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.